Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier BOGO offer. This offer expires Sunday, March 24th. To order yours today, go to EdenPureDeals.com and use code GRACEBOGO.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice. Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. Grace Curley is off. I'm Aaron Chadbourne filling in for Grace. Thanks so much for being with us here today. I'm live, the Howie Carr Radio Network in studio. So welcome to all of our viewers on the Rumble Cam. When I remote in from Portland, you don't get to see my beautiful face in front of this great, amazing backdrop that we have. But it's always great to be in studio and a privilege to fill in for Grace. Hope that Grace is enjoying her spring break. I will be here all week. A lot to get to today. Obviously, the top story of the day, not politics, but is this, the collapse of the bridge in Baltimore, the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which, Jared, have you seen that video?
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's so scary. I mean, it sounds like, and I haven't listed all the details yet, but it sounds like there was a malfunction with this cargo ship. They lost power steering, and so they crashed into one of the two support structures for the bridge, and it crumpled. The whole thing collapsed, and search is underway right now for cars that fell into the water underneath, and obviously it happened at 1:30 in the morning, so anyone that's not been recovered now, it seems like it's a tragedy for them. But I was talking with Emma before the show, and can you imagine 1:30 in the morning, you're driving across a bridge and all of a sudden it struck and collapsed. It was instantaneous. It's terrifying. Emma says she's not going to drive on any bridges anymore. She's already scared of them. But I mean, you really, like, even if you were alert and awake, maybe you're on a family trip, like, you know, there's nothing you could do. You're done. It's awful. And so they did say, though, and I saw it on Twitter, I'm not sure if it was the governor who mentioned it, but they said that prior to the collision, some of the bridge workers stopped traffic and didn't let cars drive along it. So it could have been much worse. So huge kudos to the people out there. Again, 1:30 in the morning, you're just minding your own business, driving down the road, and a cargo ship hits the bridge. And it collapsed so quickly. That was remarkable.
Yeah, it looked like one of those, you know, those balls that you can expand out and that's, you can collapse it again. Like, it looks like they have the plastic thing where it's like hollow in the middle.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, so it's obviously engineering and physics, and you can figure out that was likely to happen. But I was playing with my niece this weekend, and she's almost three. She's turning three in about a month and a half. And she's very into building things, like building towers and structures. And she really likes when I build it so that she can then knock it down. And she probably, like this cargo ship, has like the mind for like where she can hit it to create the fastest downfall. And she gets the biggest kick out of it. She thinks it's the funniest thing to have me build it. And then she knocks it down. But that's really what it reminded me of, is how quickly it's collapsed. But anyway, definitely our hearts and thoughts go out to all the people impacted and to those first responders, to the divers that are looking for the cars. What a tragedy. And I think we're going to see this is going to become a bigger story as it goes on, because it's a huge economic hub. The Port of Baltimore is one of the busiest ports in the United States, certainly on the East Coast. And right now, because of the bridge collapse, a lot of things aren't getting through. Have no fear, though. Pete Buttigieg is on the job. He, at the press conference this morning, the mayor had said that he was called by the transportation secretary. So Pete Buttigieg is on the job. The White House has just tweeted a photo of Joe Biden getting briefed. And it's a really weird photo because it's like Biden sitting at the desk on the phone and people like watching him talk on the phone. So have no fear. President Biden knows how to use a phone.
It's Pete. I'm here at the office.
One of my favorite Pete Buttigieg stories, though, is the time that, you know, he wanted to ride his bike to work. So they drove him in the SUV, and then like the last like 100 feet, he popped out, got his bike and did it, which I'm sure for security reasons, he can't just bike around DC, but it's just like, don't lie to people about it. Have you seen this picture of Biden, though, sitting at the desk, sitting on the phone? It's like one of these things that, you know, for all the people that they send out there to say, I've been in private meetings with President Biden. He asks the most questions. He's so great and responsive. Does he? Really? Like, I don't think he does, but now you have like a bunch of people sitting there watching him, and they're watching him to make sure. How many times do you think I had to take this picture too to make sure that Biden was holding the phone like he's supposed to?
Like, where's the rotary check?
Do you think there's actually anyone on the other line, or is he just like talking to himself?
It's like a Flintstone phone, you know?
my 3-year-old niece, she will have full on conversations with
the
remote.
Man.
She'll talk to the remote. She'll hold it next to her head and she'll have conversations with her friends from daycare. Like, that's what I think Biden is probably doing here. Or maybe do you think it's like do you think they really put him on the phone with the people, or do they like just play a recording? So like he thinks he's on the, like, I bet that's what they do to him. I think that's probably, remember at the beginning of the pandemic when they didn't let Biden go to the White House, they just put him in like a stage and like they pretended he was broadcasting from the White House, and it was all like, that's what I think they do to him all. I think Joe Biden may actually just be on the Truman Show, where they let him think that he's president. They like play pre-recorded stuff to him that he reacts to. Everyone that interacts with him is an actor. I think that's the best explanation.
It's like that time Michael Jackson wanted to go grocery shopping, so they shut down a store and his family pretended to be shoppers.
Or did you see that movie? It's on, maybe it was a series on Amazon Prime, I think, Jury Duty, where they have a guy and he thinks he's going to jury duty, but everyone else is an actor, and they put on a fake trial and they mess with him, and they have some famous Hollywood actor who's also supposed to be on the jury. And he's also like auditioning for a role. It's a funny story, but and they get his reactions, and he's very sincere and earnest and takes it really seriously, which is not quite my experience jury duty. I did get called in for jury duty at the beginning of February, and I would have been happy to serve on a jury. I only got brought in for questioning to potentially be a juror once, and I was dismissed because I knew too many of the other jurors, which, I mean, it's a kind of a professional hazard in that I worked for the governor of Maine, and then I sell real estate in Maine, so I'm pretty much out there. I have lots of relationships. I had a client, one of my former teachers, another title company. I wasn't able to be on the jury, but I wanted to be. And the people, it was an interesting trial. It was a car accident. But I really have to think that Joe Biden, well, anyway, the White House has tweeted out a photo. What do you think goes into that decision, Jared? When, like, do you think they have like an all-staff meeting to like pick the right way to show that Joe's on the job? Because the accident happened at 1:30 in the morning. He's getting briefed on it at, this is half an hour ago, so about 11:30, they have a picture of him.
Well, he doesn't get up till 9, so, you know.
I've heard that's also true in my state, in Maine, which was funny because Governor LePage, when I worked for him, he used to get up so early. He would do a bunch of work. He'd write all these notes in his binder, and they'd send them out when he got to the office. He'd also, you'd listen on your drive into work. He'd be on the talk radio. He'd be doing a bunch of stuff. And, like, the whole day had gone by. By the time you got to the office, it would be time for another day's worth of work. Janet Mills goes in, I think, like 10, 11 o'clock. Like, these Democrats, maybe it's all of their, you know, they only want the 3-day work week. What is it Bernie Sanders is advocating for now? 32-hour?
Yeah. I think it's a 4-day work week, but still.
4-day work week spread over 5 days. I don't know. It's interesting. Joe Biden, though, I think they probably met for hours being like, how can we show that we're in control? And Biden, this is like all the things he loves. It's like a tragedy, so he can be like the consoler, right? It's transportation, which he likes trains more than he likes boats, but I think transportation excites him. Kind of like a kid, right? A kid's like trains and boats and
I'm a train guy.
And I think this has all the ingredients for like a classic like Biden. He definitely is going to want to be involved somehow. Do you think he'll go there?
I got my mind going here.
It's Baltimore.
Oh, I'm sure he'll, yeah, I'm sure he'll go there to speak.
No, why? Because it's a Democratic city, or
yeah, because I mean, it's a Democratic city. It's close. It's not that far, so he doesn't really have to travel too far.
He can get there by train.
Yeah,
you can take the train to get there, which he won't. They'll like do the most expensive thing possible and close it down and get in the way of the recovery. I do think it's going to be important, though, the federal response and the coordinated response to get that port back open, because the longer this goes on, the more it could become a problem for businesses, for commerce, for prices. And Don't you forget, like, remember when the that ship got stuck in the Suez Canal and all of global trade was like brought to a standstill? I don't know that the Port of Baltimore is quite the same thing, but it's, for the U.S., I think, a pretty important and highly trafficked port. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I did want to check back in on Donald Trump. Yesterday, he obviously had a big day in court. He was in two different proceedings. One was the hush money case, which is now proceeding to trial, going on April 15th. That hearing yesterday, too, was his attorneys were arguing something similar to what they did in the Fannie Willis case, basically saying that it's a plot where everyone's out to get him and there was too much coordination and he wanted the judge to invalidate the people that were trying him. And that failed. And it seems like it ticked off the judge, too. So I'm not sure if it was a great strategy. It did buy him more time. So cool. The other case, though, it's funny because in many cases it was talked about as a Trump victory, right? Where the court, the appeals court, said you can appeal the decision that we made in which the damages awarded were $454 million. And, you know, Letitia James is putting out every day how much interest is accruing and she was getting ready to seize the buildings and she was all excited. Well, they said, all right, we're going to put a stay on all of that. We're going to put a stay on the enforcement while it's on appeal. However, we're going to reduce the amount that you have to put up as bond to $175 million. Now, they didn't invalidate the judgment. They didn't remove the damages. They didn't reduce the damages. It's just the amount that he had to pay during the appeal. But I think that is a win because it allows him to actually appeal. Before, his appeal wouldn't be able to go forward because he couldn't get a bond for the money and in a short period of time couldn't line up those resources, which led everyone to say, oh, Trump doesn't have any money. What was Biden calling him over the weekend?
Broke Donald, I believe, or Broke Don. I
think. Broke Don. There was a Don Porleone, they were calling him, right? Like they were dunking on him being, and then literally the next day, Truth Social finishes its merger with that, you know, fake company that got set up on the NASDAQ. And so now he's worth an extra $3 billion. And I've seen so far the news reports say that prices spiked another 50% when it went live, when the public offering happened. So Donald Trump is flush with cash. He's going to be able to appeal the decision. I think it was a good day for Trump, even though it's really part of an ongoing tragedy. The hope, though, is that he will be successful in some of these appeals because no one can understand, except for, I guess, Jon Stewart yesterday broke down why everything that he did is terrible. And Jon Stewart lit into Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank, who has been more and more on Fox News and other places defending him and trying to defend the idea that New York and the U.S. should be friendly to business and that what they're doing right now is just so bad for everyone and bad for our society. I want to get more, too, into this whole Ronna McDaniel thing, but we're kind of up against the clock right now. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's revisit what's happening to our friend Ronna McDaniel and see whether or not she's still an NBC News paid analyst. All that and more when we return here on The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, filling in for Grace.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
We are back on The Grace Curley Show. I'm not Grace Curley. I'm Aaron Chadbourne. I'm in all week for Grace. We wish her a very successful spring break wherever she is. It's kind of a dreary day today, so I hope she wins somewhere with better weather. Yeah, although, if she is in England visiting Princess Kate, I bet it's pretty dismal there as well. I don't think that's where she is. I did text her yesterday. I told her that's what I was going to tell the audience all week, and she didn't respond. So hopefully that means she's having a good vacation. And also, maybe she is. Maybe she's hanging out with Wills and Kate and the kids, helping them through this difficult time. Maybe she went to Trump Tower for the rallies. They might have a rally at Trump Tower on the weekend, which I think would be pretty interesting. Trump, of course, dunking a little bit and using the attention yesterday to kind of bring attention to his case and to what Biden is doing. Let's go ahead and play cut one, Jared.
This is all about election interference. This is all Biden-run things, meaning Biden and his thugs, because I don't know if he knows he's alive. And it's a shame. It's a shame what's happening to our country. This is election interference.
All right. So a lot of news stations pulled away from his comments around then. That was the beginning of his press conference at one of the Trump properties on Wall Street. And they said that's disinformation. Biden, there's no proof that Biden is behind it. And that brings us to today's poll question. Today's poll question is brought to you by the Nauset Beach Inn. Book your spring stay at Nauset Beach Inn with April rate starting at $249.99. To reserve your pet-friendly ocean view room with a fireplace, go to NausetBeachInn.com. That's NausetBeachInn.com. I do want to say to my dad, too, that Dad, like, I don't mention you during the Nassau Beach in Reeds because you haven't stayed there yet. So Father's Day's coming. Maybe that's what I'm going to get for my dad for Father's Day. I'll book him.
Well, they got great prices. We're going to talk about in 20 minutes.
They have good prices. $24.99 starting at. So, Jared, what is the poll question and what are our responses so far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is do you agree with Trump that Biden and his thugs are behind the prosecutions as a form of election interference? Yes, it's a coordinated conspiracy. Yes, but only because the judicial system has been overtaken by progressives with Trump derangement syndrome, or no, it's on the up and up.
Who possibly picks no, it's on the up and up?
3% of the audience, apparently.
So 3%. I say, yes, it's coordinated.
Three people holding out hope. 76% say it's coordinated. 21% say the judiciary has Trump derangement syndrome.
I mean, that's true, too, though. I mean, if you look at the legal system, if you look at these DAs, I think it's really remarkable. They all are so against Trump that he's not going to get a fair shake from either side, from the jury or from the prosecutors. But happy to take your thoughts. The number here at the Grace Curley Show, 844-500-4242. You can also text into the text line, 617-213-1066. You text Curley, C-U-R-L-E-Y, Grace's last name, to the text line, or you can call 844-500-4242. Let's go ahead and take Derek. Derek, welcome to the Grace Curley Show.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, two quick points. Like the $175 million, President Trump should get that all in $1 bills and, like, drop it off at Letitia James' office, where she hopefully has to count it all. And the other point is what's her name, Rhonda McDaniel? The lady that's was in charge of the
Republican, former RNC chair, Rhonda McDaniels, yep.
Yeah, I think they're all horrified over there. What's that, CBS?
MSNBC. NBC. She's an NBC news analyst. The personalities on MSNBC are making very clear that she is not welcome on MSNBC.
Yeah, they're horrified. They're going to have to speak with it to anybody that has any sort of, like, you know, rebuttal to their lunacy over there. You know, that they can say the outrageous things all day long and people listen to it. And now they got somebody to push back on that. So they're scared to death of that.
I think you're right. Great call, Derek. Thanks for calling in. I think, and we'll get to that, I think, in the next segment. I don't have a lot of time before our next break, but I want to go through some of the responses on MSNBC. And one person in particular, and she was the winner of our poll question yesterday, Jen Psaki, former Biden press secretary Jen Psaki, was clutching her pearls and aghast at the comparisons between Ronna McDaniel and Jen Psaki. People saying, okay, well, why is it okay for NBC and MSNBC to hire Jen Psaki and not Ronna McDaniel? And what was her response, Jared?
As Howie likes to say, you can trust her. She's not like the others.
She says, the difference between me and Ronna McDaniel is that I don't lie. Ronna's a liar. And I think we need to call BS on that. Because and this is what I said at the very beginning, and I had Grace on my program several times, and we talked about at the beginning of the Biden administration, she would lie about the small stuff. And I don't think we pulled the cuts about her talking about the dog and the dog not biting people. But, like, when they lie about the dog, if they lie about the small things, you know they're going to lie about the big things. So whether it's the dog or Afghanistan or the border, like, Jen Psaki, we've got, as Grace likes to say, we've got the receipts. So we're going to go through Jen Psaki being outraged at these comparisons because she's a real news professional. She tells the truth. She deserves NBC's credibility, as Chuck Todd would say. We'll talk about Jen Psaki, and we'll get to much more and your calls when we return on the Grace Curley Show. Sitting in for Grace, I'm Aaron Chadbourne.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
We're back on the Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, sitting in for Grace all week. Thanks so much for being with us. You might know me from WGAN up in Portland, where I host Inside Maine, formerly worked for Governor LePage. I did go to that school on the Charles River a few times. We won't talk about it. That school, which shall not be named. I have a few degrees from that institution, which used to be a point of pride, but these days I only mention it in specific circles. So I want to get to the reaction from this Ronna McDaniel stuff, which is which is, I think, wild. Like, it's wild that, number one, I don't know why NBC thought she'd be a good analyst. No one cares anything about Ronna McDaniel. Republicans don't care. What I said yesterday, and I really stand by, is I think they didn't know any other Republicans. So they were just like, oh, hey, like, let's sign a Republican to be on here. But it's created all this backlash, and now they're circling the wagons at NBC and MSNBC to try to get her fired. My prediction still stands, Jared. I think before Grace gets back on Monday, Ronna McDaniel will no longer have a contract with NBC. I bet the lawyers are negotiating it right now. She's going to be gone faster than Claudine Gay. How's that? All right, but I did want to go because one person who's taking exception to all this backlash to the backlash, people like us who are saying, like, what do you mean? Like, you have all these political hacks that you give contracts to, like Simone Sanders or Chuck Todd or Jen Psaki. And Jen Psaki in particular on NBC took to the airwaves last night to take exception. Let's go ahead and play cut two, Jared.
You may have seen some news over the last few days about the hiring of former RNC chair Ronna McDaniel as an NBC News contributor. And some, mainly in the right-wing ecosystem, have made the comparison to others who have come from government or politics into the media, including me. And that is a comparison I felt like I had to address. I got into public service for the same reason that many people do, to serve the American people. I was in the room for tough debates, for difficult decisions, for the messy and at times incredibly grueling process of governing. And that experience is something that I'm extremely proud to bring to this table and to this network. And there are many others who have followed a similar path, who I have a great deal of respect for. But here's the thing. That kind of experience only matters and only has value to viewers, all of you, if it is paired with honesty and with good faith. Those qualities are especially important right now at a time when our institutions are under attack and when our democracy is in danger. And our democracy is in danger because of the lies that people like Ronna McDaniel have pushed on this country. This isn't about Republicans versus Democrats. This isn't about red versus blue. This is about truth versus lies, service to the country versus service to one man committed to toppling our democratic system.
This is about democracy. This is about the truth versus lies. Some people have made comparisons to others, including me. Of course they're going to compare it to you, Jen Psaki. And by the way, if we're talking about truth versus lies, and I said, and I just said to Emma, she just brought me the clips from when Jen Psaki was talking about Major. Remember when the dog had a biting problem? Everyone in the White House said, oh, Major's still adjusting to his new surroundings.
Love your dog.
Jen Psaki, Major was surprised by an unfamiliar person and reacted in a way that resulted in a minor injury. They hid and they covered up the dog bitings. And I said at the time, if you're going to lie about the small things, you're going to lie about the big things. Let's take a trip down memory lane. I love that you've labeled these Psaki flashbacks. It's like because she's giving me flashbacks. All right, let's go ahead. Let's see. Jen Psaki, I want to hear you tell the truth. Let's go back to some of Jen Psaki's greatest hits of telling the truth, not being a lying liar like Ronna McDaniel. Go ahead with cut three.
The border remains closed. It is not open.
That is false.
I mean, right? Like you've been gaslighting America, the entire Biden administration, first as press secretary, now on MSNBC. Oh, but you're the standard bearer of truth and fiction in America. Let's go clip four.
And then on Fox is Jeanine Pirro talking about soft on crime consequences. I mean, what does that even mean? Right. So there's an alternate universe on some coverage. What's scary about it is a lot of people watch that.
So literally today in New York City, in Queens, a police officer was shot and killed by an armed man in a car. They were sitting in a car. Police tried to stop them. They wouldn't get out. And they shot and killed. I think he was like 32 years old. Young police officer. Terrible. Tragic. Eric Adams, mayor of New York, is on TV talking about recidivism, how these dangerous criminals who have been arrested multiple times with dangerous rap sheets are going free and they're shooting cops. But Jen Psaki thinks Republicans are living in an alternate universe when we're talking about the Biden administration and prosecutors being soft on crime. I mean, it's ridiculous. Let's go to cut six.
So we are trying to repair the damage and the horrific actions of the prior administration by trying to do everything we can to reunite these kids with their families.
Now, this was said when the Biden administration was still putting kids in cages, practice that started under President Obama. I mean, it's like they want to blame everything on Trump. They're, like, she's divorced from reality and has been. Speaking of migrant children, what migrant children? They don't stay in the U.S. They send them back. Clip 7.
Even these unaccompanied children who come across the border, who we've talked about, we want to keep safe. We want to ensure they are in shelters where there is access to educational services, legal services, health services. We want to ensure that they are then quickly moved to vetted families or sponsor homes. Many of them don't stay because they go through the process of having their applications reviewed. We just want to keep them safe because they are kids under the age of 18.
Play cut 3 again, Jared.
The border remains closed. It is not open.
If it's closed and not open, who are all of these people that we're keeping safe while waiting for their processing and adjudication that was going to tell them they have to leave when we no longer know where they are? I mean, it, like, talk about living in an alternate reality. She's the definition of an alternate reality. And it's not just, I mean, immigration is one thing. All right, fine, you're a big policy failure. But, like, they just make stuff up. Play cut 5, Jared.
We have seen, though, some progress in the last week or so, and a number who have moved forward. Former Mayor Pete Buttigieg, of course, yesterday just confirmed as the first LGBTQ secretary in a cabinet. He's going to play a pivotal role on our economic planning.
That is false.
Rick Grenell probably has a lot to say about that because he was an openly gay Trump appointed and congressionally confirmed, I think. And so, like, it just, everything she said, and maybe she's just bad at her job. Maybe she's just wrong a lot. Like, that could certainly be, but I think she's lying. I think it's a lie. You can hear it all the time. I mean, let's go cut 11.
This trip on Friday, which is being done in coordination with the Department of Homeland Security, Secretary Mayorkas is, of course, joining her on this trip. And the planning and timing of it was done in coordination with them, is part of the coordinated effort between her office, her work, the Department of Homeland Security, the Department of Health and Human Services, to continue to address the root causes and work in coordination to get the situation under control.
The her in that case being Vice President Kamala Harris is at the border to get the situation out of control. True or fact? I think that's a lie.
That is false.
And all right, we could go on and on and on these, but let's see, any others? Oh, how about cut 10?
Obviously, the president's view is that the number of officers who lost their lives paid a tremendous sacrifice on a day that will be a stain on our democracy for many years to come, and certainly many who survived. This will be a long-lasting trauma. I'd have to check on the letter and the status of that.
What number? I want to know. I want to know what number of officers Jen Psaki believes died on January 6th, because if she's going to be the one that's speaking to us about it, let's find out. What's the number, Jen? Let's hear it. But maybe this will summarize all of it. Let's take clip 13 and we'll round it out.
We're not going to allow propaganda to go unnoticed, right? And I'm not going to let misinformation brew and boil in there. So it's both, right? I can be and will always be, and I am treated the same way in response. Respectful of questions that whether it's Peter Ducey or someone else have in the briefing room, or I try my best to be. I'm not perfect. But I also am not going to be silent if there is misinformation that is being shared, because that briefing room is really for the American people so they can get information and know what's happening.
Yeah, they're not going to let propaganda go unchecked in the briefing room. They're going to be the ones spreading it. And finally, let's just take, this was Senator Rick Scott at the time when Jen Psaki still worked for Biden in the White House. This is what Senator Rick Scott had to say. Cut 14.
Your reaction to Jen Psaki calling the CBO score fake? I think it's fake what she says, because what comes out of her mouth is constantly a lie. Remember how the infrastructure bill was paid for? It wasn't. Remember how this was paid for? It's not. Remember how they're not going to raise taxes on the middle income? They are. Remember how they're going to tax the rich? No, this is what, $600 billion worth of tax cuts for the richest families in California, New York, New Jersey. And then they cut charity care for hospitals in Texas and Florida and places like that. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, but they're just lying about this. Like they say, the border's secure. Come on. The American public is fed up with Joe Biden and all of his constant, and Jen Psaki's constant lies.
So here's the thing. If Jen Psaki wants to implement a standard that says people who lie in politics shouldn't be on NBC or MSNBC, cool. But let's start with Jen Psaki. Let's not pretend that somehow she's exempt and that she is this stalwart of truth and this example to aspire to. It's reprehensible. It doesn't pass the straight face test. We'll get to your calls. 844-500-4242, the number here on the Grace Curley Show. We'll take your calls after this quick break. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, filling in for Grace. And Jared, what else do you have to tell us about before we head into break?
Well, we mentioned the Nosepeach Inn earlier. They're the sponsor of today's poll question, and they have just opened reservations for spring. I've been to the Nosepeach Inn. A lot of people here at the Howie Car Network have as well. It was one of, if not the most tranquil place that I've ever stayed. My wife and I were there. We loved sitting out by the fire pits, drinking our morning coffee, watching the sunrise.
And I mentioned sending my dad because he does like to like get away every now and then. And one of the hardest questions for him when he travels is, what am I going to do with my dog? Right? Like, because you got to get someone to watch it. But yeah. This is a pet friendly hotel where you can bring your pet, relax.
Yeah, it's the best. You can take your dog. You can walk along the beach. You can run along the beach, especially in April and May, because you're still outside the busy season, so you can enjoy the beach. And, you know, even if it's a gloomy day like today and you want to stay inside, every room has a fireplace and a giant picture window, so you can still enjoy the view. You can stay cozy. And right now, you can book your April stay at the Nosepeach Inn from $249.99 a night. And in May, rates from $259.99 a night. That's a better rate than you're going to get at any hotel, and you're going to get much better ambiance down at the Nosepeach Inn. And don't delay, because these rooms will go fast. Nosepeach Inn, again, pet-friendly, has a view from every room, and bonus, check-in is contactless. To reserve your Ocean View room, go to NosepeachInn.com. That's NosepeachInn.com.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
We are back on The Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne, sitting in for Grace. President Biden now addressing the country about the bridge collapse. Let's listen in. Here's some of what Biden said.
Sorry to keep you waiting. I was waiting to talk to the last member of the delegation in the region. Good afternoon. Before I leave for North Carolina, which I'm going to do in a few minutes, I want to speak briefly about the terrible incident and accident that happened in Baltimore this morning. At about 1:30, a container ship struck the Francis Scott Key Bridge, which I've been over many, many times, commuting from the state of Delaware to our trainer by car. Been in Baltimore Harbor many times. And the bridge collapsed, sending several people and vehicles into the water, into the river. And multiple U.S. Coast Guard units, which are stationed very nearby, thank God, were immediately deployed along with local emergency personnel. And the Coast Guard is leading the response to the port, where representatives from the Federal Highway Administration, the FBI, the Department of Transportation, the Army Corps of Engineers, as well as Maryland officials and Baltimore Police and Fire, are all working together to coordinate an emergency response. Officials at the scene estimate 8 people were unaccounted for still. Not still, were unaccounted for. That number might change. 2 have been rescued, 1 without injury, 1 in critical condition. And the search and rescue operation is continuing for all those remaining as we speak. I spoke with Governor Moore this morning, as well as the mayor of Baltimore, the county executive, both United States senators and the congressman. And my secretary of transportation is on the scene. I told them we're going to send all the federal resources they need as we respond to this emergency. And I mean all the federal resources. And we're going to rebuild that port together. Everything so far indicates that this was a terrible accident. At this time, we have no other indication, no other reason to believe there's any intentional act here. Personnel on board the ship were able to alert the Maryland Department of Transportation that they had lost control of their vessel, as you all know and reported. As a result, local authorities were able to close the bridge to traffic before the bridge was struck, which undoubtedly saved lives. And our prayers are with everyone involved in this terrible accident and all the families, especially those waiting for the news of their loved one right now. I know every minute in that circumstance feels like a lifetime. You just don't know. It's just terrible. We're incredibly grateful for the brave rescuers who immediately rushed to the scene and to the people of Baltimore. I want to say, we're with you. We're going to stay with you as long as it takes. And like the governor said, you're Maryland tough, you're Baltimore strong, and we're going to get through this together. And I promise we're not leaving. Here's what's happening now. The search and rescue operation is our top priority. Ship traffic in the port of Baltimore has been suspended until further notice, and we'll need to clear that channel before the ship traffic can resume. The Army Corps of Engineers is on the spot and is going to help lead this effort to clear the channel. The Port of Baltimore is one of the nation's largest shipping hubs, and I've been there a number of times as a senator and as a vice president. It handles a record amount of cargo last year. It's also the top port in America for both imports and exports of automobiles and light trucks. Around 850,000 vehicles go through that port every single year, and we're going to get it up and running again as soon as possible. 15,000 jobs depend on that port, and we're going to do everything we can to protect those jobs and help those workers. The bridge is also critical for travel, not just for Baltimore, but for the Northeast Corridor. Over 30,000 vehicles cross the Francis Scott Key Bridge on a daily basis. It's virtually that, well, it's one of the most important elements for the economy in the Northeast and the quality of life. My transportation secretary is there now. As I told Governor Moore, I've directed my team to move heaven and earth to reopen the port and rebuild the bridge as soon as humanly possible. And we're going to work hand in hand with the support of Maryland to support Maryland whatever they ask for. We're going to work with our partners in Congress to make sure the state gets the support it needs. It's my intention that federal government will pay for the entire cost of reconstructing that bridge, and I expect the Congress to support my effort. This is going to take some time. The people of Baltimore can count on us, though, to stick with them at every step of the way until the port is reopened and the bridge is rebuilt. You know, we're not leaving until this job gets done. Not leaving till then. So I just want to say God bless everybody who everyone harmed this morning and their families. And may God bless the first responders, many of whom risked their lives. And the reason I'm not going to take a lot of questions, there's remaining issues that are open that we got to determine what's going to happen in terms of the rescue mission and the like. But I'll.
Do you plan to go to?
Yeah, that's the reason he's not going to take questions.
Seamless.
You're listening to the Grace Curley Show. I'm Aaron Chadbourne in for Grace. We're just listening to President Biden addressing the bridge collapse in Baltimore. Jared, I don't want to be a cynic here, but do you think there's a correlation between voter registrations in a city and how quickly Joe Biden, A, comes out to talk about a disaster, and B, commits to going to visit it?
I 100% feel that there is.
And we cut off the questioning, but they did ask if he plans to go, and he says, yeah, he plans to make a trip there.
He's going to go to North Carolina first, apparently.
He's going to North Carolina. What is he doing? Is it a campaign stop? Don't you think he should cancel it? I think if he were, like, if Trump were going to do this and Trump had a trip planned in North Carolina, they'd say, how dare he? He's got to cancel the trip. He's got to rebuild that bridge himself, brick by brick. Did he say he went over it by train?
He did, yes. He's been over it many times by train. And there is, in fact, no train lane on that bridge. I looked at the
When we come back, we'll be fact-checking Joe Biden. Here on The Grace Curley Show, I am Aaron Chadbourne, in for Grace.